Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our continuing 2020.
John, what do you mean I'm always interrupting people?
Do we need to start over? Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our Atlantic 10 preview. If you are looking for the American preview, David, look up, right?
Yeah, it's up there, right?
Look for the Mountain West, where do you go?
See it right there, down there.
I see the West Coast.
That one, too. It's right way down there.
Okay. Okay.
You can play all four podcasts at once. You can also get ticket information for the 2021 AC8 at the Four Seasons.
Yeah, you can if you play it all at once and backwards.
Backwards, yes, backwards. But I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Let me just introduce everybody here real quick. Up top here, we've got David Griggs and Mike Cha. Center square, we've got Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. To his sides, we have John Titel and Joby Fortson. And down the bottom row, we've got John Stalica. We are going to be discussing the Atlantic 10, as I mentioned. And Mr. Titel, let me start off the top with you here. At the top of the A-10, at least in my opinion, I'm really high in the St. Louis Billikens this year. I want to ask you and Mike both about them, but let me start with you on this team.
Sure, I'll save some for Mike. I just wanted to point out that they have a lot of nice seniors. You got a backcourt of Javonte Perkins, who's the reigning conference sixth man of the year, Jordan Goodwin, who is a triple-double machine, and Hassan French up top. So I like the senior leadership, especially in this crazy year.
Yeah, and Mike, how about the St. Louis team? How good is this team?
Oh, I think they have a chance to be a solid team. I agree with John. It's either them, either St. Louis or Richmond that's the favorite to win this conference. You got Jordan Goodwin, who's not only one of the he's not only the top player in the conference, but he's one of the top players in the country.
Yeah, and Joby, I look at this St. Louis team. I'm trying to find the holes. I can't find them.
This is going to be, you know, this is the team, I think, and while they're in a more rounded conference than the teams I'm about to say, this is your Buffalo team. This is your Wofford team. This is, you know, I truly believe this is the team that will be wearing white, and that the average person in the public did not know existed until the end of March. And they'll go, how in the world is this team a six seed? This team is headed for that sort of season, precisely because they return so much depth, so many double digit scores. You know, I think they have five guys who had hit double digits last year returning. And the depth is outstanding. They've got the ability on the boards. They have the ability outside. It's the complete package. There, you know, this team, I think, has a lot going for it. And I see them making their way through a improved A-10 as the season goes. And that improved A-10 will also give them kind of the nice wins like – and prep work that like in East Tennessee State you would have seen last year after having playing a strong SoCon or a Wofford, you know, from a few years ago playing Furman, et cetera.
Let me ask you about the other team that Mike mentioned actually. And that's this Richmond team that it might've been a 1A, 1B, but Nick Sherrod is out for the season with the ACL tear. That kind of knocked them down, I think, to clearly second place in my opinion. But what about Richmond?
Yeah, I mean, the Sherrod injury is definitely a tough blow. You know, he's a glue guy, been in the program 5 years. But they also – you bring back guys like Jacob Gilliard, Blake Francis, Grant Golden, Nathan Kayo. So this team is full of seniors, at least in the front – you know, the starting five, four of the five now because the loss of Sherrod. But you bring in Gustafson, who's got some experience, and Burton. I think they're going to be a very quality team and right in there for the A-10 championship. You know, if you look back to last year, going all the way back to the end of January, they only lost one time between that point in time until March 6th, which included a 10-1 record. They beat teams like Davidson and VCU during that stretch. They got really, really hot at the right time, and they were poised to win that A-10 tournament, I thought. And so with most of those pieces back, everyone essentially except Sherrod, like I think they're in great position in a season like this to really win most of their games, if not, you know, all but a couple.
That's a good point, Rocco, like was how hot this team was basically in the latter part of last season. I don't think they would have gotten past Dayton, but I mean, it was a team that was on like 10 of 11 or 11 of 12. You just said what it was, but red hot down the stretch. The other thing about this Richmond team is that they're, when they're at their best, they're really good at controlling the tempo. Like, that's another – if they have an Achilles heel, I think it's speed and pressure and teams that can sort of run them over. But it's hard to speed them up when you don't want to. And, God, like, to watch them work and execute their half-court offense, it's like a work of – I could watch it for six straight hours. They're just a fun basketball team to watch.
They hadn't lost Nick Sherrod. I think Richmond over St. Louis.
Yeah.
I was there with you, Mike. I was ready to have them until the Sherrod injury, and that's where
right.
I flipped them.
And that's unfortunate. What could really be a good game on Sunday, assuming it's not canceled, they're at Kentucky. And I don't think they're going to be better than Kentucky at the end of the year, but they're – you know, they don't really need time to gel. They already have. So that's a dangerous game for Kentucky. On to the SEC.
And a win on that, David, is precisely the type of win that doesn't just help Richmond. It helps the entire conference.
Yeah, in a year like this.
I'll tell you what, let's look a little beyond these top two. Stalica, another team that has pretty much everybody back from last year, and they won 19 games last season, is the Bonnies. How about them heading into this season?
St. Bonaventure is going to be one of, I think, three or four teams in the conference that's going to be returning all five starters right here. So this seems to go into cycles for Mark Schmidt and his crew up in Olean right here. But if I'm looking for some players to watch, Kyle Lofton and Jerron English would be a couple guys to watch for the Bonnies here.
Yeah, I like them. Osanee, the center. They bring Anthony Robertson from Kent State. Titel, are you on the Bonnie bandwagon with me?
Yes, but for the following season. They have a great lineup, and I like Coach Schmidt. He's been there 14 years now, but most of their best players are juniors, so I think next year is their year to shine.
Next year is their year to shine. Well, let's talk about teams that may be shining. Let's talk about teams that shine last year, Joby. How about Dayton? We haven't mentioned them yet, and they went undefeated in this conference last season.
Yeah, and it's such a shame. You know, we've talked about it in other podcasts, but – it's worth mentioning again. I mean, chances that Dayton had last year, which was a legitimate shot at the Final Four, and who knows, maybe even more with Obi Toppin, et cetera. They come along once in 100 years, and Dayton got screwed out of their once in 100-year instance. They're not going to be doing that this year. However, I don't think they fall off a cliff. I think they are very competitive for a bid. Not saying they will get a bid. I'm saying they'll be competitive for one. Crutcher is a solid piece, yes, to returning piece to build around. They're going to, you know, they have that, you know, they won't be lost as Obi Toppin will be playing for the awful Knicks. How about that?
Yeah. Can I say something about them? Oh, are you done, Joby? I didn't mean
to. So.
But the other thing about this Dayton team that we learned last year, Obi Toppin was certainly the catalyst that was going to take them to the Final Four. But even without him, this was still a tournament caliber team. And one of the things I've been impressed with the last 2 years, but particularly last year, was the bench coaching of Anthony Grant. I mean, we've seen this guy at VCU. We saw him at Alabama. He was decent, but not anything, at least in my opinion, the way he was last year. This is a tough defensive team that really opened it up on the offensive end, something that we hadn't really seen from an Anthony Grant coach team before. I think that with the pieces he has, they're not going to be as good as they were last year. I do think they're going to be better than what most people are expecting. And let's not forget where this team started off in the rankings and in the picking last year. They were picked to finish about fourth or fifth in the A-10, and I don't think they got any votes at all. So, I mean –
I agree, David. And while he won't be Obi Toppin, and we use that name a lot, Zamifi Nwokajai is a highly recruited inside presence that will allow them to not have a donut. You know, they're going to be able to. They have someone. He's not going to be a lottery pick probably, but they have someone there of quality. So I think Dayton will be a competitive team, and it's going to be fun watching this conference as a whole, and they'll be part of the conversation.
Yeah, I think
let's move through for other teams here as well. And Stalika, I want to mention a team that did actually win 21 games last year, an amazing turnaround that Keith Denver has been doing there in Duquesne. How about the Dukes this year? Could they actually be challenging for their first dance ticket since 1977?
I'll be honest with you. I think Duquesne, they're going to be another one of the teams I mentioned that's going to have five starters back, among them Marcus Weathers, who had transferred from Miami a couple years ago. You've also got Michael Hughes and Sincere Carey. I think this team could be a potential dark horse, not only to get to the NCAA tournament, but also possibly win the league, because Keith Dambrot does have a history of winning leagues.
Wow. So you just picked Duquesne.
I could see them as a bid stealer. You know, win the tournament, league tournament, be a bid stealer.
I think they're going to be improved, and I thought that was going to be a hot take. Never mind.
I'll tell you what, after that, let's go to a couple other teams real quick here. Rocco, a team that I kind of like as a bit of a dark horse, very young team last year, got a lot of playing time. Now, how about UMass? I think they're an up-and-coming team here in this conference.
I'll give you that. I think they're an up-and-coming team. I agree. I think the freshman coming in, Javon Garcia, is going to be lights out. Highest caliber recruit I think UMass has had since the Calipari years. And, you know, the sophomores, I think you're talking about Trey Mitchell, who was outstanding last year, 17.7 points a game. And TJ Weeks was, you know, he's a redshirt guy. I think they got a lot of young talent. I just don't know that I'm completely sold on McCall as a coach. And I think there's some barriers they got to get through and some experienced teams in this league to get to, you know, let's just say the top five of the league. I don't think that's going to happen this year, personally.
Well, Titella, how about Davidson? I know John Axel Gudmundsen is gone, but Kellen Grady might be your player of the year in this conference, actually.
Last time he played a postseason game, he had 31 in a loss to Lipscomb in the NIT in 2019. The year before that, he played Kentucky in the NCAA tournament and had 16. He was the conference rookie of the year in 2018. He performs when the lights are brightest. I wish he had some more talent around him. But yes, he can be and is a good call as the possibly best player in this conference.
Quick question to the panel about Davidson. What the hell happened a year ago? And is that sort of that, you know, this was a team that was started off in the top 25, I think, or if not close to it.
They had Richmond's role from this year, yes.
Yeah, and I think the reason they're not being picked higher, because it doesn't make any sense that they wouldn't be, other than do we still kind of have a nasty taste in our mouth from last year?
Fair enough.
Yeah, a couple tough breaks last year. They lost a one-point game to St. Joe's. They lost a four overtime game to George Washington. You know, if those two games flip by themselves, they're 12-6. So it wasn't a terrible year, but it just –
Well, those are two terrible teams.
Yeah, I think the problem with Davidson, we said this going back a couple of years when they won the A-10 tournament 2 years ago. I think we all talked about it as a panel. The thing about their style is they don't really blow teams out. So they let teams hang around, but they're also capable – about gunning you and knocking off, a top-ranked team. So you get the best of both worlds with them.
Yeah, David, what about Rhode Island? I mean, you got Fats Russell there, but, they did win 21 games last year also.
Yeah, I don't see them getting back to the caliber that they were at when Hurley was there anytime soon. I mean, Cox did a pretty good job last year, but there is sort of a roster overhaul. Like, I know that they return some, but I think they lose more, and they're just kind of starting over. And are they starting over with the pieces they need to be to build up to being a top 25 caliber team like they were in the latter years of Hurley? Probably not.
Well, the other problem for Rhode Island is two of their key contributors are now playing for UConn and Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, real quickly, there are several other teams in this conference: George Mason, George Washington, St. Joe's, VCU, with all five starters gone. It could be a tough season for Mike Rhodes' team.
Oh, my God.
We're going to find out about on VCU, because they were projected to be a tournament team preseason last year, and they just fell apart. Injuries were a big part of that, with Evans particularly going down. But we're going to find out if Rhodes might start to approach hot seat type time because of last year. And it's not the cupboard's completely bare. You do have, I mean, Highland was a very highly recruited guy. He's still there. We're going to find out. Okay, while they're having to replace a lot of pieces, the bench that's replacing him is actually, at least in terms of recruiting ranking sort of thing, is pretty decent. What you got? And this is going to be his chance to mold a team that maybe he didn't get the chance last year. And if it falls flat, he might not be in Richmond, coaching in Richmond next year.
Which is kind of a shame. You know, it's one of those things you're kind of surprised he hasn't done better than what he's done. Anyway.
Okay, anyway, bottom of the conference, Fordham and LaSalle, by the way, are members of the Atlantic 10 still technically as well.
Yes.
But on that note, I do want to go through.
Well, Chad, real quick, a quick note here on St. Joseph's. You don't want to overlook them. They are in the Big Five. There's good teams like Villanova also in the Big Five.
And LaSalle.
St. Joe's does have a star in Ryan Daly, though. Don't overlook that.
Yeah. Ryan Daly was over 20 points a game last year, but I just don't think there's any other pieces there.
You got to have more than that.
Not. Yeah. But I want to do is run through each of you real quick here, ask you several questions. Number one, who wins the A-10 regular season? Number two, how many bids the league gets? Number three, any other final thoughts you have on the conference? And Mike, I got you on my screen, so why don't I start with you?
St. Louis, I would say two.
St. Louis and two bids. Stalika.
I'm actually going to be a little generous and say four bids for the A-10 this year.
Oh.
Include Duquesne to win it all. Right. We got it.
Duquesne to win it all.
They would need a bid stealer to bump it up to four.
Stalika, if this happens, we're changing your name to Nostradamus.
But I will also say St. Louis and Richmond get in, and I think Dayton's going to find a way to get back in here. Do not overlook Jalen Crutcher, though, because he also hit a three-pointer to beat the Billikens in the Arch Baron Cup last year.
Yes,
to help keep the Flyers 18-0 in the conference where everyone else was getting gunned over by Dayton.
Tytel, let me go to you on this question.
I think that I will stick with St. Louis as the pick to click. I will set the over-under at 3. I will laugh at Stalika's suggestion of 4 and go under. As far as a fun fact, so one of the pieces Dayton does have returning is their senior shooting guard, Ibby Watson, who transferred from Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. Sadly, which of his high school basketball teammates hurt himself in an NFL game today? Anyone?
I didn't watch any NFL games today.
Joe Burrow was his high school basketball teammate.
Wow.
I knew Ibby Watson's from Ohio.
Oh, man. Who's he playing?
Yeah, Joe Burrow took a nasty hit.
Joby.
I'm going with the St. Louis train. You probably could figure out with my comments what everybody else is. I actually don't think Stalika's way out of bounds here. This is the conference that I think, even more so than some of these other conferences you'll see in the podcast up and below, that might have resumes built up that take advantage of the major conferences stuck at mediocre records. This is the conference that might be able to do it. I like 3 a lot. And a bid thief, this is a conference where bid thieves thrive. I really like the opportunity here. 3 or 4 if there is a bid thief. And, you know, I don't see why not, you know, why can't a Davidson that we discussed get hot shooting, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, you know.
I agree, Joby. There is a reason the A-10 has their championship game on Selection Sunday now.
Yep.
That's when CBS wants it.
I'm on 3 for this league, and I've got St. Louis winning it. I do like Richmond. I like the Bonnies as my third team in. But Rocco, how about you?
Yeah, I'm similar to you, and I think we'll land at 3 with this league as far as bids. I think Richmond and St. Louis are just above the cut line, and the opportunities there, a couple opportunities for each of those programs to win some big non-conference games and maybe get even safer. We'll see how the next month goes for them. I do think Dayton's got enough in the cupboard. Yeah, I know just looking back historically, you want to find those teams with point guards with pedigree, and we saw Jalen Crutcher just clutch time after time after time last year, including that huge 3 to beat St. Louis on the road. So it just you know, I think Dayton's got enough pieces where Crutcher can be clutcher, if you will. And then I do think, you know, this top tier is a lot bigger than I thought when I first started breaking down the A-10. I actually do agree with a lot of what Joby was saying. I think Davidson is a threat. I think Rhode Island's a threat. You know, don't forget Rhode Island picked up the Mitchell twins that quit on Mark Turgeon last year from Maryland. They're now at Rhode Island and eligible to play with Fats Russell. That's an interesting team, I think. And then also with Stalica, I think Duquesne, with just the background of Coach Dambrot, this being now the fourth year, getting all his guys in, something special could be brewing. There's just a lot of possibilities in this league this year.
I love this league.
Oh, David, you want to finish us off?
I'm going with three, although, like, I mean, I don't think four is totally insane. I think Duquesne finishing first is totally insane, but Duquesne has improved a lot. Dambrot has done a phenomenal job. I've been banging his drum ever since he's gotten there. I think they will continue to improve and maybe be inside the bubble sooner rather than later, although I don't know about this year. The teams I'm going with Dayton to win the league again. I just think that I was so impressed with them last year, not just with Obi Toppin. It wasn't just Obi Toppin and friends. It was the whole team. They were a tournament caliber team without him. And that's one of the things I can't get past. I think the other two are Richmond and St. Louis. And I don't know, just to kind of echo what Rocco said, like right below that, it isn't a huge drop off with, you know, Rhodey's got some weapons. Duquesne's got some pieces. The Bonnies have some pieces. It wouldn't shock me if the Bonnies got in. It's I don't know. You kind of wish it was a regular year because this would be a really fun year to watch the A-10 and see what they could do in November and December.
I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for our Atlantic 10 preview. On behalf of David Griggs and Mike Chopp here, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org in the Center Square, we've got John Titel, Joby Fortson, John Stalica. If you want to check out all our previews, go up to the 2020-2021 season preview tab up top there. If you want to continue watching what we're doing tonight, go right on down to the Mountain West. It's up next. But thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon.